And hello to you all on this great day. We're not going to mention the football at all this morning. There'll be many disappointed folk out there, I know, but it can only get better. If you have Bibles with you, please keep them open here at Acts chapter 2, because we'll be going back to this scripture in a bit. Throughout scripture, going all the way back to Abraham, the people of God are called to be a blessing. We are charged to be a blessing to those around us. And I don't know what that kind of, you know, how you see that, what that means to you, how you think of that. But that is the charge for God's people. On Thursday night, I was privileged to be at the Churches Together in Eastleigh annual general meeting, which was hosted by All Saints just down Desborough Road. It's obviously a very holy street, Desborough Road, with three churches on it. Hearing of the fantastic work that's being done last year through Hope 15, but through Basics Bank operating just over the road here, through Street Pastors, through the amazing charity ARC operating out of St. Thomas's. Also hearing of the plans for CAP, Christians Against Poverty, launching our debt relief program. And it's fresh off the press that we have everything in place, including all the finances, to be able to set that program up. So that will be happening this year. It was wonderful to hear all that stuff. Or to put it another way, to hear how Christians in Eastleigh are being a blessing to their community. One of the reasons Thursday evening resonated so powerfully for me was because of our recent sermon series, My Mess, His Masterpiece. Anyone remember that one? Yeah. Jesus' encounters through the Gospel of Luke with a variety of people in their mess, real pain, real challenge, real problem, death, illness, disease, poverty, real mess. And yet somehow with his miraculous power, with his awesome love, turning it into something special. And so hearing about the work that is going on through Churches Together, through those various projects and programs of Christians stepping courageously and selflessly into other people's mess. And it's real mess. Real heavy mess that people are stepping into was beautiful to bless and to bring God's love. I love Churches Together in Eastleigh. But you know, I love Churches Together in the world as well. I hope you do. Today we're blessed not only with having a vibrant, active church which is here, which is in our community, but Churches Together in Eastleigh doing that. But we're connected with churches all over the world. And I'd like to invite Mary and to bring Steve. Is it Steve and Joy? It's just Steve up here to tell us, because we have a visitor from foreign shores, and you'll pick up pretty soon where he is from. So,
well, hello everybody. It's lovely for me today. It's a really exciting day. If you remember, about a year ago, I had a challenge to pass on to wherever some hymn books, our Baptist Praise and Worship hymn books. Some went to Oxford, some went to Portland Prison.
We're not the prison.
But the vast amount of them I bundled up together with Russell's help and we sent to Australia. And I'm absolutely delighted because Steve and his wife Joy, Steve is the minister of Eastwood Baptist Church on the outskirts of Sydney. He's on his sabbatical here and he happens to be in Winchester this week. And when I found this out, we've been emailing ever since this happened, and I thought, yes, we've got to have somebody to come and say a word to us, and I know he wants to bring greetings from Eastwood.
Thanks very much, Mary. It's wonderful to be here, and it's about a year since we started communicating with Mary and your church, and we received a lot of your old hymn books. They've been very much appreciated by us. So I'm the pastor of Eastwood Baptist Church. Sounds a little bit like Eastleigh. We're about 10 miles out from the centre of Sydney, from the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And we think of you quite a lot. Our man who used to be one of our church leaders communicates a lot with Mary, passes information about your church on to me. And 3 weeks ago was the last Sunday when I was at our church, and I told them about your street party today, and they promised that they'd be praying. Amen. So there's prayers being offered today from Australia for you, and so that's very special. So greetings from our church, and thank you very much for the partnership, and we trust that we can stay in communication and friendship in coming years as well. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you very much, Steve and Mary, for making that happen. In an hour or two, not long now, we're going to be celebrating the Queen's 90th together. But of course, the Queen is not the only faithful Christian lady to have her 90th birthday this year. In fact, at EBC, we have no less than four of our own hitting this milestone. And so before we go and celebrate our sovereign's birthday, I did want us to acknowledge these four ladies. Margie Evans, sadly, we don't have a photograph for, but she is going to be 90 on the 23rd of June this year. Eileen Grant is going to be 90 on the 5th. Eileen, come in, Eileen. Come on, Eileen. Eileen Grant. Oh, sorry, I've done these in the wrong order. That's what's thrown David up there. David. I've actually got them in birth order here, so that's it. Should have been Barbara Lee next, shouldn't it? Barbara Lee. There's Barbara. So, and Helen Butcher on the 1st of September, and then we'll go back to Eileen, who should have been, and Eileen. Awesome. Let's give those ladies a round of applause. Bless you. I can see Helen down there. I can see Barbara. Is Eileen with us as well? Yes, I can see Eileen there too. I hope this is a special day for you because of this year, for you as well. Brilliant. Let's have a look at our scripture. Acts 2, 42 to 47 again. I hope these verses are very, very familiar to you as Christians. This is a snapshot. So, I mean, people will sometimes think this is exactly how the church should be in absolutely everything. But, of course, context changes. We're living in a very different century. We're living in a different part of the world. So some things change. And yet, this really is the blueprint for how church should be and how church can be, I think. And I hope these words are familiar to you and that you're very familiar with those this part of Scripture. What's compelling to me in this little snapshot of church is it's not so much about the program, although they did have programs going on. If you look further on in Acts, there's a feeding program for orphans and widows and so on. They're getting systematic about what they're doing. But it's not about the program. It's just about the way they seem to live their lives. There's something about these people together which is which is phenomenal. And Luke records, I'll just pick out a couple of verses or a couple of phrases that he uses. The believers were together. Have you ever heard someone tell you, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian? Have you ever heard that? You must have heard that in your lives. It's tosh! Now, your relationship with God is a personal thing. It's an individual thing. So on that basis, no, you don't. You don't have to. In order to have that relationship with God, that's a one-to-one thing. But church was always supposed to be something that you live out together. It's a community thing. The believers were together. Then the next bit is a little bit more challenging. They had everything in common. Everything in common. We live in a capitalist world, do we not? The idea of communism is politically sort of, it's been out there with the Middle Ages, really. Capitalism's the only show in town. That's the way to go. Now, I'm not going to preach a political sermon. I'm not a political beast particularly. But this everything in common that you see here in Scripture, the purest form of communism, if you like, was actually being lived out by these people genuinely. They had a level of commitment to each other and a way of being together and interacting with one another that was beautiful, that was arresting and was transformational. And I immediately, thinking about this, thought about Lauren and Declan's wedding, which was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty, which was arresting, and it was powerful, and it was transformational. And this way that they were, we're told from these verses, had two direct consequences. Luke records that they enjoyed the favour of all the people. I think it's safe to say that he means the common people. I don't think that the religious authorities, for example, were too impressed about what the church was doing. But people love being with them. People love being around them. People love being interacting, love watching them, they love seeing them, they love being around them. People love them. The second thing, the second consequence was that God added to their number daily those who are being saved. The way that the earliest Christians did church was so attractive, so compelling, so transformational. People loved it and people got saved. Or as the Wren Collective put it in one of the songs that we'll be shortly singing, no force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. I love that line. I really hope when we sing it, you can sing it with tears in your eyes, that God's love, when it's lived out purely in our hearts, changes lives, changes your life, and it changes the lives of people that witness it. And I remember stepping through the doors of a place called Merton Town Hall. Does anyone in the room know where Merton Town Hall was? Anyone know South London? Yeah, Merton Town Hall. It was good on you, Pete. Merton Town Hall, nothing special, just a municipal building. But in it was gathered a church that used to rent it out because they didn't own buildings themselves. They used to rent out buildings. And I stepped into that hall, and I knew from the moment that I did that I was where I needed to be and where I'd needed to be all of my life. Personally, I sought, the fun of life, the meaning of life in party and in alcohol. That's where I thought you would achieve it. I stepped through the doors of this place. There was no party. There was no alcohol. And it wasn't the decor. It was the people. It was how the people were together. It wasn't even the singing, although that was beautiful, without instruments. But it was just the way that people were with each other. And that changed my life. How do we do church on this day? And I love the fact that Karina, in her one of her little pieces in her address, she referred to the fact that church isn't this service at the beginning, and then we go and put out some tables, and then we go and sort of, say hi to the, to people, and then we pack up and we go home. Church is just how we are out there, how we are in here and how we can be in here together, worshipping God, sharing our lives, sharing each other out there. And it's one of the wonderful kind of passages in Scripture is the Mary and Martha story. And we all understand that kind of principle. We can be so busy. There's lots to do in this net. And Karina's going to kind of tell us and guide us in what we need to do. And you might be tempted to be a bit stressful about where does this go and where does that go? And this has got to be just right. But it's not about any of that. It's just not about any of that. It's all about how we are loving, serving, radiating that beautiful love that changes lives. So you were promised a short service this morning. We have delivered, I believe. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do this a little differently this morning. A very holy person in this church is Ruth Sitchell. And Ruth was not that long ago abroad with the charity Open Doors in the most challenging part of the world for the gospel, the Middle East, and sharing with brothers and sisters in Egypt. And when they pray, they get their national flag out and they pray, not because they're big on the nationalistic bit, but because the national flag is a symbol of their nation and a symbol of what they want to be as a nation. And so Ruth passed me this little Union Jack, and it's, of course, highly appropriate on this day that as we pray, that we think about our nation. Not because we're the best, or we're the loudest, or we're the strongest, or any of that nonsense. Because we want this place to be a Christian nation. We want our nation to be a Christian place. And our monarch has been a beautiful and a wonderful example of just that. A life of service and devotion in Jesus' name. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray as we step out of this building and step out into the street around us, that you would empty us of fear, you would empty us of anxiety, you would empty us of laziness or apathy or half-heartedness. Lord, we pray at this moment that you would open our hearts. You would open wide our hearts to receive, Lord. And we pray at this time that you would fill us. Fill us, Jesus, with your beautiful, life-changing spirit. That we might enjoy each other's time and company in such a way that we radiate your love. And that people just walking past in this street this day know that you are here. Know that you are with us. Know that you are in us. Know your name. May your name be glorified, Jesus, as we party to celebrate our Queen and her devotion to you and to celebrate your amazing love that transforms lives. Lord, please bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going to sing.